This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
You're listening to The Morning Run with Lynn and Shaoning, 9:18 a.m, Wednesday the 3rd of June. And before we get into more corporate news, let's take a quick look at the KLCI, which has been open for about 20 minutes.
It's still in the green. It's still up 0.41% to 1513. In fact, the whole region is a lovely shade of green. And if you look at the top value stocks, not many changes there. The top losers, once again, the glove makers, maybe perhaps on the back of that margin call by the broking houses.
All right. And now we have so far been seeing some quarterly earnings been released, and we've been covering them as well here on The Opening Bell. But the first quarter corporate results season in Malaysia has just ended. And, well, unsurprisingly, there was some widespread disappointment because the twin effects of COVID-19, which brought about a movement control order, did have a negative impact on most corporates as economic activity was curtailed in order to flatten the infection curve.
Now, with the global recession looming, not helped by plunging oil prices, the FBM KLCI saw new lows in March 20. But, you know, since then, markets have rebounded by 20%, if not more.
A little mini bull run. So to help us explain what's round the corner for equity markets and whether we should expect a roller coaster ride ahead, we speak this morning to Jeremy Goh, Head of Research at Hong Leong Investment Bank. Thank you very much for joining us this morning, Jeremy. Now, first quarter results have just been released, with most companies, with more companies reporting numbers below expectations. But were there any observations that we should be aware of?
Hi, good morning. So roughly two-thirds of stocks under our coverage have released the results for the first quarter period. And of this amount, 64% of it actually disappointed, 26% was in line, and only 9% was above. In terms of the proportion of results disappointments, this was probably the highest that we have seen in the past decade. And if I were to dissect the source of disappointment, 85% of it could actually be attributed to revenue shortfall. Now, this is perhaps not entirely surprising, as first quarter was hit by the start of COVID-19, along with the initial stage of MCO, which began on the 18th of March.
Now, you know, despite what is clearly weak corporate earnings, right, the FBM KLCI has bounced 22% or thereabouts from the lows we saw in mid-March. I want to know, what is driving this? What is the disconnect?
So, there is indeed a disconnect. With the MCO hitting the entire month of April, along with subsequent extensions as the CMCO, which is still ongoing until now, it's quite inevitable that the second quarter results will worsen sequentially. Corporate earnings aside, we also expect one of the weakest quarterly GDP, perhaps since the AFC, to take place in the second quarter. Now, having said that, like you mentioned, markets have rebounded very strongly from the lows seen in mid-March. I think the KLCI is up probably 23% from those levels until now. So if you were to ask me, I'd say the disconnect comes from two factors. Firstly, abroad, the Fed's implementation of their so-called unlimited QE, or put very crudely, money printing, it's finding its way into equities. And domestically, retail participation on Bursa has gone up from 25% last year to an average of 30% year-to-date. In fact, on some days, you see that the retail participation goes as high as 40%. So what we have seen so far this year is that retail participation is the highest in the past decade. Now, alongside with low FD rates and low margin financing rates, this has, of course, boosted the retail participation. Short of using the word euphoric, the confluence of all these factors have perhaps resulted to investors, according generous valuations to equities than would otherwise normally be.
So, Jeremy, with all of that taken into account, then, what is your KLCI target for 2020?
So, where we are right now, my guess is that the market may still have some legs to go to close in on the 1550 level before taking a correction, perhaps late June or maybe in August. Why this timeline, specifically in August, is perhaps that's when reality will start to sink in with even weaker corporate earnings results and GDP as it bears the full brunt of the MCO. Also, I think another area to keep an eye on is how geopolitical tensions between U.S. and China play out. Now, in a normal market circumstances, traditionally we won't ascribe a mean PE valuations to the market in a recessionary climate, which we are right now. But with the liquidity spillover from an unlimited QE this time around, perhaps that would be warranted. So hence, if we value the market at 16 times PE on 2021 earnings, that gives us a year-end target of 1450 for the KLCI. Now, in terms of the market trajectory from now to the year end, if we were to sort of visualize it, we are looking at a W-shaped trajectory for the market overall in 2020. And where we are right now, we are probably nearing the first half of that W.
So, Jeremy, what is the investment strategy you advocate? Do you stay defensive, or are there investment opportunities, or do you just go for the other V that's missing in the W?
All right. I think we'll go for a combination of defensive slash longer term plays slash fundamental plays, and pair that with some COVID beneficiaries and also laggards. So for those more longer term fundamental names, we'll be like Naga, TM, Sunway and Axis. And then there are also those stocks which are deemed as beneficiaries of COVID-19, being the direct ones like Top Glove and Farmaniaga. And also stocks which we would term as circumstantial beneficiaries of COVID. And we would deem Bursa as one of that because they definitely have been benefiting from the high average daily value traded, which has been brought about by the increased volatility from COVID-19. Lastly, we also looked at some laggards simply by virtue of the fact that this short-term euphoria, laggard stocks will run simply because they are laggards, right, to play that catch-up. So in this section, we like names like Genting, RHB, and also MBM.
And Jeremy, one sector that has really rallied in the last few weeks, right, or months, have been gloves. What is your view on this sector? Is it overvalued?
Well, earnings prospects definitely look very good. We are looking at definitely more than, for some of the glove stocks, definitely more than 100% earnings growth. ASPs are on an upward trend. Spot orders are selling at multiple times of what they usually do. And capacity utilization has gone up from its traditional 85% to almost 100%. If you look at the overall global COVID-19 cases, that's still going on an uptrend, you know. I think in the month of March and April, generally the new cases globally tends to fluctuate about 80 to 100,000 a day. Now we are looking at that number going band upwards for, to 100 to 120,000 cases per day. So recovery on that front yet. So definitely demand for gloves will continue to remain robust. Now, having said that, share prices appreciation has also been very steep. And, you know, there's been grapevine talk that stockbrokers are now starting to place a cap on the value of glove stocks that can be used for margin financing. So taken overall in a nutshell, I think we would approach this sector with some degree of cautious optimism.
Thank you very much for speaking with us this morning, Jeremy. And that was Jeremy Goh, Head of Research at Hong Leong Investment Bank. And, with a number of interesting names there, one that particularly caught my eye was caught my ear was Axis. And he was talking about Axis REIT.
Yeah, the industrial REIT.
So that's an interesting REIT choice, particularly because, as you said, it is an industrial REIT and therefore should be more or less resilient against the COVID-19 pandemic. There was also, I think, some news a little while ago that out of its 154 tenants, I think the majority of them don't actually have any kind of a force majeure clause. So Axis REIT should still be able to maintain its rental yields.
Yeah, the other interesting thing that Jeremy pointed out is that it's a euphoria, right? Because there's a lot of cheap money flowing in the system. Some people say, you know, with the loan moratorium given and low FD rates, people have now got a chance to invest. So that's why we see retail participation at an all-time, decade high. Just be mindful of that, you know, caveat emptor, because you never know when the party might end. That's the issue, because the moratorium ends in September. That's one thing, right?
Yeah.
He
was very diplomatic about it, wasn't he? He was saying investors are ascribing perhaps more value to certain stocks than they should necessarily be given, something along those lines.
Yeah, but you know, markets are markets, right? It's difficult to tell. But other names that he did bring up in terms of I think more the medium term view, names like Tenaga, Telekom Malaysia, Sunway, Farmaniaga, one COVID play is Bursa. You never thought you could associate the two. But because of the high retail participation, definitely Bursa will benefit from what they call velocity, an increase in velocity of trading. So they are one name. And I think short-term laggards, anything that hasn't gone up in the last few months, look like, you know, potential plays. Because basically, it's like rising tide raises all ships, right? So names he mentioned, Genting Berhad, RHB, MBM, those are also other potential, stocks that could go up in the next few weeks.
All right, and that is all the corporate news that we have for you this morning, because we're about to head into the 9:30 news bulletin. And then after that, we're going to be having the BBC World Service, where Manuela Zaragoza explores the impact of COVID-19 on higher education. So be sure to stay tuned for that after the 9:30 news bulletin. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.